Hello, everybody. This is Brother Brennan coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another live devotional. And it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've did one of these. It seems like I've just got a lot going on right now. been working really quite a bit, really exhausted, tired. Feel like I need to take a few more days off, but I don't know. It just seems to be no one in sight, but it's probably a good thing I'm working as much as I am, but it gets pretty tiring when you work two different jobs. So keep me in prayer for that. Gonna do a devotional tonight entitling Christ Died for Future Sin. And the reason why I'm going to do a devotional on that is because I've been having a lot of trouble, just a lot of just personal trouble and just stuff that's been really just, I don't know, it's a lot of sorrow, I guess, just some things I'm struggling with personally. And sometimes, I know I've been told by people and other, you know, by others that I tend to, I have a tendency to be really hard on myself, and I know that I can be hard on myself. I tend to make things harder than it should be, and I was just driving home tonight from work and just, you know, thinking about how when Christ died, he died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He died for the sins of the whole world. And it's not just our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Amen. So, you know, when Christ died, if you think about it, Christ died over 2,000 years ago, and he risen over 2,000 years ago, and he's alive forevermore. How is it that when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago, how is it that we today can be forgiven of our sin? And I think the answer to that is very simple. Is that when Christ died, when it says that Christ died for the sins of the whole world, I mean, it's sins that would be committed. Amen? And that's kind of much easier said than it's easier to say it, but sometimes it's harder to kind of trust in that and believe it at times, because I think what happens is our flesh and our fleshly nature and our sin nature likes to try to get us to doubt our salvation. And I know that because that's been a lot of my cases for the past week or two. I haven't been feeling very well, and not physically. It's more spiritually and emotionally. I haven't been doing very well, and it's been these last few weeks have been very tough for me. And so, please do pray for me. But getting back here on track, that when Christ died, he died for the sins of those who have not yet been born. Okay? And I'll prove it, okay? If we're still able to receive forgiveness and be washed in the blood today, okay? And you gotta remember, we weren't around 2,000 years ago. So we see that it is, you know, Christ died. He died for even the sins that would be committed. And if you guys just sort of bear with me here, let me see if I can find that scripture, okay? Of the whole world. Oops. Whoops. I don't know what happened there. Let's see here. Of the whole world. Here we go. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. If and I want you guys to, yeah, let's turn there, okay? So let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And my goal and hope is that this devotional, this kind of little teaching can be an encouragement to you. I don't know who needs it. I know that if I preach this a little bit and it was only meant for me, you know, praise the Lord, you know, but I've been having a hard time lately. But turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You catch that? It says the whole world, not for our sins only. Now, when I say that, when you take a look over at 2,000 years ago, people nowadays, the people that we see today weren't born over 2,000 years ago. They were born in a time like this. Amen. So when Jesus Christ died, he died and he took that punishment. I apologize if I get a little teary-eyed and stuff, but he took that punishment upon himself. Basically, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So when Jesus died, he took all of our sins and the sins that we would ever commit, and he took that and nailed it to his cross. And by the way, Jesus was that perfect sacrifice because he kept the whole law. We can't. If you're born again here today, I just want to encourage you that you can't keep the law. Don't let anyone tell you that you can keep the law. No, you can't. If I can't keep the law, then you can't. Now, that is not an excuse to go off and sin. What we have to understand is that when we have that freedom, we have that freedom to serve the living God. Do we sin so that grace may abound more? God forbid. Amen. And so when we take a look at us today, there is power. There is still power in that blood. There's still power in his death and resurrection. And when we sin, I don't know about you all, but you know, when you know that you fell short, and you know that you've done wrong, I want you to take heart of two things. Number one is Jesus knew that you would fall at that time. It wasn't like a surprise. It wasn't like he fell. No. Jesus knew that you would fall short. He knows all of your future sins. He knows all your future sins, when you're going to commit them, how you're going to commit them. He knows that. Amen. He knows that. He knows his kids. And number two is that you have that assurance. We have that assurance that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that assurance that when we fall short, we have that assurance that he paid that price. Amen. What did Jesus say on that cross? He said, "It is finished." Amen. It is finished. Which means every sin that everybody would ever commit was taken upon him. and at the cross, and he was judged in our place so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We know, and so we can have assurance that that forgiveness will always extend. But we must not frustrate the grace of God. We must not use it as an excuse to sin. But we have the assurance that when we sin and fall short, He's always going to be there. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When God calls you into something, when God calls you to do whatever He's called you to do according to His will, those callings and gifts, God's not going to eventually say, "Oh, well, I'm sorry, you're wicked, I'm taking that back." No. That's not God. When God gives you gifts and callings, He's given you those because He wants you to use your gifts, talents, and callings to further the gospel. And by the way, why would God take your callings and your gifts back? Why would He take them back if He sees that you're wicked, if you were already wicked to begin with? In other words, remember this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even after we're born again, we're still wicked. We still have a wicked flesh that we have to deal with. And God gave you those gifts and callings for His glory, for His purpose. But that's not for you to take advantage of and say, "Well, if that's the case, I'm just going to live like the devil." No, God forbid. Because if we do that, then we're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Okay? So I want to encourage you guys today that if you know and you have times when you fall short, remember that, number one, that God knew you were going to commit it. And number two is that God wants you to repent of your sin so that you can come back to Him. Amen. Now I want us to go. And I want to leave you with one final thought. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed." It does not say we're going to get healed. It doesn't say we might get healed. It says that we are healed, present tense. It's interesting. It's present tense, and yet it's present tense, but it can also apply to future sin as well. I want to continue reading on, if that's okay with you. Verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land, the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he had made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteousness servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. My question to you is, if there's anyone that's watching who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior? Is there anyone who's watching that doesn't know that Jesus is your intercessor? Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Amen. He makes intercession for us. Listen. If there's anyone that's watching that may think that you're too wicked to be saved, let me tell you why you're wrong. The Apostle Paul, Saul, who then became Paul, he called himself the chief of sinners. He murdered, he persecuted the church. He was a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. And he done some pretty wicked things. And then you want to know something? God got a hold of him. He repented of his sins, and he got baptized. And God used him to do mighty things. Don't ever think that you are too wicked for God to use. As a matter of fact, God would rather use a broken person than a self. He'd rather use a broken, sinful person than someone who claims to be self-righteous and stubborn and stiff-necked. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Pharisees were stubborn and stiff-necked. And yet, Paul was one of those, and God broke him. But God was still able to use him. And I'm going to tell you something. All these great men and women of faith had their downfalls. They did. Samson was a womanizer. David committed adultery with another man's wife. David murdered a man, had a man killed. Peter, he cursed a lot. He swore. He had a sailor's mouth. Abraham lied. Rahab was a harlot. She was a harlot. You see these people who had sins in their life. Even when you take a look at David, even after, you know, probably even after he got born again, when David believed, he still sinned. David sinned after knowing and believing God. After he became what we know as being born again. When he believed God, when he followed God, I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. But yet, he still had issues in his life. let me tell you guys something. If David, who knowing God and was a man after God's own heart, still had issues, what makes you think that as a born-again believer, you won't have any more issues? Because I want to tell you something. Even born-again, children of God do have their falls. They have their issues. Amen. I know I have my share of issues. I've had my things that I struggled with. And I'm going to tell you something. As a believer, when you know that you fell short and you just things are just getting at you, it's not pleasant. Because you feel the conviction of God, you can't. I mean, you know that you've done wrong, and I have a tendency to make things a bigger deal than it should be. Amen. So I just want to leave that with you guys as a thought. Okay? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know for sure today that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Okay? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And it's simply just going before the Lord with a sincere heart, repenting of your sins, asking the Lord to cleanse you of your sins, asking the Lord into your heart and life, and asking Him to fill you with His Spirit. And when you do that with a sincere heart, you'll be saved. It's not about just parroting words. Just, you know, yes, you should repeat, but if you just repeat and you don't mean it, you know, then nothing's going to happen. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. If there's anything that you struggle with, God loves you. He cares for you. He knows what's best for you. And He's got your best interest in mind. Amen? Anyways, listen, I hope this can be a blessing to you. I'm going to probably put this on Sermon Audio and Sermon Audio on YouTube, so watch out for that. But listen, I love you guys. God bless you. You please keep me in prayer. I'm going through a lot. I've been kind of going through a lot lately. I love you guys. God bless you, and if the Lord willing, I'll see you next time. All right. God bless you guys. Love you.